Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, merry meet everyone, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron here on Para-X. And I'm still kind of rocking out to the Time Warp, and there was a reason for playing that song, which we'll get to in just a minute. But a very interesting guest for you tonight. Lee Prosser has been writing for publication since 1963 and has over 4,000 of them to date. He's listed in over 47 biographical references in the USA and overseas, was featured in Jeff Belanger's book, The Ghost Files, and is the author of the popular book, Missouri Hauntings. And for years, he's written a column of his paranormal and supernatural musings in the column Bide One's Time, which is published at ghostvillage.com. And one of those columns is the subject matter for tonight's show. Now, Lee is known as an existential thinker. And the subject matter for tonight, interdimensional beings and time portals, definitely takes that kind of thinking. So please join me in welcoming Lee Prosser. Hi, Lee. How are you?
Hi, Marla. How do you do? After that rousing song, I didn't know if I'd step through a French door and met Doctor Who on the way.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, as long as I don't have to say existential again, I think I'll be just fine. All right. Now, we are really going to get a little bit heavy and deep and interesting tonight, talking about interdimensional beings. And I have to tell you, I'm the first to admit that I really know relatively little about the subject. So I'm going to be the student tonight, and you're going to be the teacher. And that brings me to my first and probably the most obvious question of the night, and that is, what exactly are interdimensional beings?
Well, basically, interdimensional beings are beings that can travel between dimensions. That's it in a nutshell.
That's really too simplistic.
Excuse me.
All right. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they travel through time portals, which is why we played the Time Warp song.
Yeah.
But is this kind of like Jules Verne's Time Machine without the machine, or maybe Doctor Who's TARDIS with the blue box?
It could be. You're thinking of H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah, Jules Verne, Under the Sea. Right, okay.
Okay, same difference at times. It depends on what you had to drink before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm full of it tonight now.
Well, I hope so.
I know this is a very serious subject. And really, now let's get serious. Interdimensional beings, really, they are beings that travel between, into, and over and through various dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And each dimension could be a different shading of some other dimension. The dimensions themselves, they depend on the perspective of who's making the travel. And an interdimensional being, I suspect, if the truth were known, our own government has toyed around with this and have sent humans, you know, through dimensions. And if someone's on the other side and they see us, they would see us as an interdimensional being. And that might be, you know, it might be something from their perspective that we're paranormal. Just like from us, it might be something that we think is paranormal. The idea of time travelers, time portals, it is complex, but yet it's very simple. Because My take on it and my belief after all these years is they're there, they exist, and they open for a reason in time. I think we have more of them now. As you and I discussed one time, with the veil between this and the next life or this and another world becomes thinner, more people are coming out and they're saying, I saw something that couldn't be there. And you talk to them or they say something, or you hear them on TV or radio and they say, what did you see? I saw something that looked like a, for lack of better terminology, a pancake opening up and flipping over. And someone stepped through and stepped back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact now there's some in Missouri, some portals that have opened. Mm-hmm. And there's things coming through those portals. And they may be people, or they may be things. Tell me your feelings on portals.
Well, up until I started reading a little bit about this subject, portals to me were where spirits come in, doorways to the other side. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was looking at it as a dimension as much as a place. But, you know, I from reading the stuff on interdimensional beings, I mean, there's so many varieties that people are claiming. I mean, they could be shadow people. They could be spirits. They could be time travelers from another time. They could be aliens. So I'm getting the idea that interdimensional beings is an umbrella statement.
Yes.
That just covers a whole lot of people, a whole lot of group of entities, let's put it that way.
You know, now that you mentioned shadow people, Shadow people, you know, they could be either a negative or a positive side of interdimensional beings. These, for instance, let me make a direct reference. You know, you read books and you see interviews of people that they're in cemeteries or their houses or something. A haunting which produces a shadow person or entity, that may be an interdimensional being. I hate to say that because there's a lot of paranormal people out there that are going to jump on the bandwagon and say, how is this possible? Mm-hmm. And the answer is simply this. Anything's possible when it comes to interdimensional beings. And some of the strange things that are happening in the paranormal world right now in 2009, mm-hmm. there's just, it's like another way of looking at it is a vortex open and a vortex closes. You tie that in with time portals and different things of this nature, and you're going to get into a whole variety of people's thoughts on the subject, and they're all going to vary. Some of those, some be the same, but some are going to be radically different. Mm-hmm. It's really. Let me share with you this incident that I had when I was interviewing a woman for my new book, Branson Hauntings. This was done at Branson, and the woman preferred to be anonymous, and I respect that. She said that a place called Old Matt's Cabin, which is in Shepherd of the Hills Company, they were talking about southern Missouri, or better known as Missouri Ozarks. She said that she encountered interdimensional beings one morning. She was coming up and came upon the Old Matt's Cabin house, and there's a, I went down and I examined it. In fact, I was down there three times. The steps that lead up to it lead up to a wood board thing. Mm-hmm. And from her description, this portal opened just right in front of the door, and about 20 couples came out dressed like you or I or anybody else. But before they did, the first couple came out and they saw her. And she said that she remembered she couldn't move, and until they were all gone, the portal vanished, and then she was totally and completely alone. Of course, I get into this more in detail in the writing of the book, but mm-hmm. that, to me, is going to happen more and more and more frequently. Mm-hmm. From now on. I had no reason really to doubt her, because I've seen and talked to other people that have had the same thing happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Got a quick question from the chat sure. room, from Michael. He said that Einstein believed that time travel was possible, but only backwards in time, and once you got there, you were stuck there, the reason being the future has not happened yet. He wants to know how you feel about that.
Well, I would say that that's Einstein's analysis. I have no problem with it, because simply I'm not aware, or I don't remember if I have traveled to the future, if I've changed the future, or if I'm sitting here talking with Marla Brooks as a result of something I did change in the future or the past. Time is fluid.
Right.
I mean, it's like a wave. Did we lose each other on that?
I think we just had a little blip, but I still hear you.
Well, what I was trying to say was the wave, if you take the idea, the physics idea, that time works as a wave, then any wave is bound to have changes and intersections. Mm-hmm. I think the word is pronounced interdices, something like that, where they overlap. So I have no problem with Einstein's approach to that, and also some of the newer physicists that are coming out with other ideas.
I don't know
if that answered the question.
Well, I think it did, and I think it was good. But you know, the more you're talking about, the more I'm reading about it. I hate to keep going back to Doctor Who, but it's just, it just seems that time travel makes more sense than, I mean, as a reason for being an interdimensional being. I mean, obviously they have the reasons for coming or going, but, and I don't know if I'm making any sense, but
well,
it
yes,
just...
you are, because, you know, Doctor Who himself is an alien.
Well, yeah.
Through time. What is
right.
he? I think he's 900 years old, something like
something
that.
Something like that, and doesn't
yeah.
look a day over 850. but, and then he is traveling with someone from our time. Now, they are just going back and forth, I don't think, to change anything. They're just doing it because they can, apparently, unless Doctor Who's on a mission and things come up. There's just so many different versions of time travelers that it you know, like, all right, a ghost, a spirit. But then also people are talking about demonics being
yes.
time travelers or being interdimensional beings. Now, but
that
the other...
That, of course, would have to include the reptile alien race that currently inhabits part of the Earth, you know. That would also fall into your demons.
What, reptiles?
What?
Reptiles?
Yes, there is a, I guess for the last 12, maybe 13 years, a well-known reptilian race that has already occupied planet Earth. I think they even did a takeoff on it with the movie series V.
Mm.
About the reptiles that took over, they were disguised as humans. Of course, mm-hmm. then you get into the whole topic of shape-shifting. And shape-shifting, and of course, you know, in witchcraft and shamanism, shape-shifting is taken for granted.
Exactly, yeah. It's a very common practice, very definitely.
And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I decided to chase a rabbit with you there.
No, please do. Please do, because I'm not even sure where I'm going with this. It's just, it's so all-encompassing. But the other question that popped into my head was, okay, they're interdimensional entities, right? Now, how many dimensions are there, in your opinion?
What's pi squared?
Really?
It could be
infinite, is what you're saying?
I believe so. At one time, I did not, but now I believe it could be infinite. Because if you look at what our brain matter is capable of handling, and then go out on the limb and say, well, there'll be other cultures or other civilizations, other aliens that may have even more complex minds.
Right.
That means they're going to have even more complex dimensions.
See, and I never thought of it that way. I figured, okay, I'm sure there are aliens inhabiting other planets, other galaxies, all that. But somehow in my limited brain on this subject, I just kind of assume they're in the same dimension we are.
Well, you're smarter than you let on, Marla. I'm going to tell your secret right now.
Maybe on some things. I'm not sure about this.
Well, look at the idea of dimensions. Well, okay, let's look at Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Or even we could look at Star Trek, the old series.
Mm-hmm.
If you time travel, you may encounter something in your own past or that of a past, you know, era.
Mm-hmm.
That may be entirely different than you conceived it to be. And your presence there may change something that
mm-hmm.
will cause it to realign or change in a different timeline when you get back to your present.
Right.
If you survive to get back to your present.
Now, that's a scary thought, and we're going to have to take a quick break. So let's... leave that hanging, and everybody will be right back.
Marla Brooks will be right back after these brief messages.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days. There seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze. I'm a pepper, he's a
a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. If you drink Dr. Pepper, you're a pepper too. Us peppers are an interesting breed. An original taste is what we need. Ask any pepper and he'll say, only Dr. Pepper tastes that way.
Marla Brooks from Stirring the Cauldron, and nobody stirs it up better with our loved ones on the other side than Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. Please tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central and make a connection.
If somebody tells you don't worry about the slaughter of tigers and elephants, there are lots of them out there, don't buy it. And if they say it's fine to buy products made from animals facing extinction, definitely don't buy it. Our endangered animals are being destroyed by illegal wildlife trade. It's up to us to stop it. Never buy illegal wildlife products. When the buying stops, the killing can too. Who said it, pal?
Hey, this is your old buddy Mike from the Morning X. Be sure to tune in to the Sacred Division with Bishop James Long and Francis. That's Wednesdays at 9 p.m. on the Para X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, once again, here's Marla Brooks.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Used to, yeah.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
I think it's if you stop and think about it, publishers, lots of people, they've been preparing hype for 2012 now for about, 5 years? Look at the number of books that are out telling you what to expect on 2012. In fact,
right.
I've got 4 brand new books sitting right here on the corner of my desk that I'm going to review sometime this year, hopefully, and they're all called 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And each one has a different take on what to expect.
Well, it's like going to a doctor, a convention of doctors, and putting out a symptom. You're going to get hundreds of different opinions. And,
exactly.
You know, I mean, okay, the veil is thinning and all this stuff. But I, you know, there's another thing that I was reading that kind of got me thinking. See, this is a bad thing. This show really got me thinking. I read an article that said Area 51 in Roswell indeed is housing the type that we expect that they are, the kind that crashed to Earth in spaceships. The author of the article thinks that what is housed in Area 51 are interdimensional beings, and I'm quoting him here. He's saying that the aliens are actually devious interdimensional beings that the Bible refers to as demons. Now, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about this earlier, and I was saying that, in my opinion, if they are indeed housing some kind of beings, I can't understand how they would be interdimensional. If interdimensional can time travel, why would they, how could they get stuck in Area 51? You know, I think I mentioned to you, it's like kind of trying to put a ghost in a bottle.
Well, they strip them naked and take away their time travel, time basis.
So, okay, so you're saying that they all need some kind of an instrument or a vehicle. Is that right?
Well, I'm not so sure. At one time, I would have said, yes, they needed a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to add to that and think that they could be done, it could be done with implants of some sort. Or even like, of course, the old standard is to have the magic watch on your wrist and you just set the time and away you go. But I'm thinking with the government's intrusion into the world of remote viewing and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
I think the training of the mind maybe some embedding of, you know, like something similar, simple that would jog the mind. I think the possibility is your interdimensional beings may be walking about, and if they don't want to be seen, all they've got to do is really either touch some part of their body or think back to a home port, and they're gone. I think it's probably that direct.
Okay, now you said touch some part of your body. Now, some interdimensional beings, like spirits, ghosts, don't have bodies.
That's true.
I'm just playing devil's advocate with you here.
I know you are, and I love it.
So,
but stop and think about this a minute, too. An interdimensional being in transit is what? It has no body or shape or form.
True.
It's going between dimensions. Mm-hmm. So if someone perceives something walking by or flying by of that nature, it would, like you or I, we would make the logical assumption it's a ghost or a spirit or an entity or the boogeyman, whatever you want to call it. But mm-hmm. to the person that's making the trip, mm-hmm. they're just passing through.
Well, you know, if these beings are so much more evolved than we are, you would think that they wouldn't need any kind of instrumentation or vehicle, that their mind pretty much could do it, you know, like an eye blink, or like you said before, imagining you want to be somewhere and poof, you're there.
I think the only thing that they would need is some kind of little computer chip insert or an embedding would be mm-hmm. if they were somewhere where they were incapacitated or unconscious or mm-hmm. drugged or being probed or something, then that would set off some kind of an alarm in the system, you know, which we would call a human body, what they would call it, I don't know.
And like an intracranial GPS, right?
Yeah, right. And it would pull them, you know, just like clicking your fingers, danger, back to home port.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's so totally amazing that it's almost hard to get my head wrapped around all this. A question came in from the chat room, and we lost sound for a minute, so I don't know if they heard this part, but Kat in the chat room wonders what you think that 2012 means. Maybe we can backtrack just a little bit.
Well, I think 2012, like the Bible, is misunderstood by everybody, and I don't think we really know what it does mean precisely, mm-hmm. except what we interpret it from, based on different people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that because I'll probably irritate a lot of people, but I really believe that people reading the Bible, they don't really understand what they're reading. They just really, they haven't got a grip on what is actually behind the words and the phraseology, and I think that applies to 2012. And I think we're all going to be in for a big shock when the world doesn't end, when 2012 comes, but we're also going to be in for a bigger shock on what happens afterwards.
Hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, I've heard that what happens afterwards is just a new thought process for everybody. Things will change. We will adapt. You know, nothing so dramatic. I mean, but also that one of my guests, and I forget who it was a while back, was saying that for the past few years with the veil thinning there and the changes that we're going through now, we are kind of moving forward already with it. It's not going to be an overnight thing where one minute we're this way and the other minute we're that way. All of a sudden we are working towards whatever 2012 means. It's going to be like an easier transition than most people think.
Marla, I've also read some things similar to that, and they say different years are given, but if I was to draw a consensus from what I've read, they seem to think that after World War II, the change started in the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, you get into all kinds of things. You get more paranormal activities being recorded in different cultures. You get Roswell, New Mexico, UFO crashes, and so on and so on. But before World War II, there is a point there that you could make that we would not have been prepared at all if anything like 2012 or what they predict. If it hadn't been, we'd probably all gone stark raving mad. But we've had about 50, 60 years to prepare for it.
Unwittingly, it sounds like.
Yes, that's that's what I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at kids today, and sure, they'll say, "Yeah, I saw ETs." You know, I mean, if they did, who's to say they weren't the real thing? Walking
around.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, we're so. I think the word is numbed by media that we don't really know whether we're seeing something or someone's just pulling a, you know, a gag, like someone walking down the street with blue hair.
Here's another thing that just popped into my head. Because of the science fiction craze in the last 50 years, let's say, just to round it out, who's to say that it wasn't interdimensional beings that are putting this stuff out there for us, even though, you know, there are supposedly fiction shows, you know, Star Trek, blah, blah, blah. But how do you know that maybe interdimensional beings aren't the ones that are starting all this or did start this in our minds? Could be.
That's kind of like saying fodder for the cattle.
Yeah, I don't like that terminology because cattle go to slaughter. And you know what, Lee? again, on that happy note, we are going to do our Spell of the Week segment in just a minute. So we're going to take a quick break. This cattle here is going to sit here and quiver for a minute or two. And
when we come back, let's talk about the man who folded himself.
Okay, don't forget that. Everybody hang in. We'll be right back with Spell of the Week.
If you listen to only one paranormal show this week, then tune in to CAPS Paranormal Radio. But if you're going to tune in to two shows this week, then tune in to Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. However, if you're going to tune in to 25 shows or more this week, then make sure you catch Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Friday nights from 10 till midnight, or watch them live on GTV. Side effects of listening to Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie include painful belly cramps and uncontrollable fits from laughing too hard and the occasional warts. If laughter lasts more than 4 hours, consult your doctor right away. Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Fridays, 10 to midnight. It'll either kill you or cure you. Either way, you'll be happy you watched.
Hey, this is Mike from the Morning Ags. Be sure to take a trip to the land down under with Rusty O'Neill's Mysterious and Unexplained, Mondays from 7 till 9 Eastern on the Para Ags Radio Network.
It's time once again for Marla Brooks and Spell of the Week.
I just feel like I'm in the opera house and I hear that. I love that. Just building up the crescendo. All right. Anyway, tonight's Spell of the Week, I usually try to do spells of the week that kind of tie into the subject of the show. I got mixed up on this one. Could not think of anything brilliant. So we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to go back to basics, and we're going to talk a little bit about the witch's bottle. Now, these bottles have been around since the early 1500s and gained popularity as a magical device to ward off evil during the burning times of the European witch trials. And they were generally made for fending off witches and other forms of evil. Now, today, we make witches' bottles for a variety of reasons, to protect ourselves, also to ward off all forms of evil. And often, for protection, the contents of a witch's bottle would be sharp objects, pieces of glass, rusty bent nails, all that kind of good stuff, which are all meant to provide great amount of discomfort to any evil entity that might encounter the bottle. And after the bottle was filled and sealed, it was placed in a safe and very strategic place inside the house of the person who wished to be safeguarded. And once these bottles were and are placed into their protective hiding spots. They are never to be disturbed again. Now, as I said, these bottles can be made for other things as well, such as luck. For example, whatever you put into a bottle reflects the purpose that you want it to hold. So for luck or money, you could use a green glass bottle, for example, filled with dried patchouli leaves, a lottery ticket, a few coins, a crystal, or a lucky amulet of your choosing. As with all bottles, I suggest that you seal them with candle wax, and the color of the candle wax should match the intent, like a green candle and candle wax for a money or luck witch's bottle, white for healing and cleansing, or a blue for spirituality. So grab your bottle, put in whatever you need, put your intent in it with it, and before you tuck it away, I want you to hold it in your hands and say a brief incantation of your intent. Put it in your own words, because as you know, spell work is mostly 99.99% intention. And just hold it in your hands, put your energy into that bottle, tell it what it is to do, what it is for, and as always, end the incantation by saying, "So mote it be," which in essence seals the deal and sends your intentions out. So everybody grab a bottle, because it could be used for a million different things. They are good. And I've got one buried in my front yard, guys, and it seems to be working. So there you have it, your spell of the week. And any questions about that kind of stuff, or what to put in bottles or colors, you can always pick up my workplace spells book. There is a big section in the back that gives all those kind of handy hints. And we will be right back after this quick break with Lee Prosser.
Sometimes good intentions aren't good enough, and we need a little help to make it through the workday. Some people pray, others put their noses to the grindstone. But now you can take a different path and resolve workplace issues in a magical way. From the author of the Ghost of Hollywood series comes a brand new book, Workplace Spells, Everyday Magic on the Job, by leading author Marla Brooks. This easy-to-follow magical spellbook will help you get past those pesky job-related hurdles. Whether you're new to the craft or a seasoned practitioner, you can make magic happen. Look for Workplace Spells, Everyday Magic on the Job, by Marla Brooks.
Available now online and wherever fine books are sold.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back in just a moment.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Soft kids, fizzy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dog.
On the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
I'm Simon Cowell for PETA. Far be it from me to be critical, but I find it really appalling that this year thousands of dogs will die of heat stroke inside parked cars. There people thought that little errand would only take a minute, or it wasn't that hot. But delays happen, and temperatures inside a car quickly rise in summer, even when the window's cracked. Never, ever leave your dog inside a parked car. Your dog idolizes you. In warm weather, keep him safe at home.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, once again, here's Marla Brooks.
Really though, Doctor?
We were saying about the Earth revolving.
It's like when you're a kid. The first time they tell you that the world's turning and you just can't quite believe it because everything looks like it's standing still.
I can feel it. Turn of the earth.
The ground beneath our feet is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and the entire planet is hurtling around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour, and I can feel it. We're falling through space, you and me, clinging to the skin of this tiny little world, and if we let go, that's who I am.
Wow. Nice.
Yes,
nice
wow.
Pickup, Mike. That's great. Love that. Doctor Who. We're back here with Lee Prosser. We're talking about interdimensional beings and time portals. And guys, if you guys have any questions, send them to me in a private message, or you can go ahead and send it to Mike Lear too, and he'll throw it in. But before we went to break, Lee, you were talking about the man who folded himself up. Did I get it right?
No, just leave up off, and it's just the man who folded himself.
Okay, let's hear about it.
We were talking about how we may have been either inadvertently or advertently set up to be programmed for what's coming our way, you know? Mm. Well, David Gerard, I think is the author's name, wrote a science fiction novel. You can find it in any used bookshop. I think it was in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And it was called The Man Who Folded Himself. And it was about a man that went back in time to change certain aspects so that he could control his future.
Mm-hmm.
And from the get-go to the end of the book, he's coming and going and meeting himself and making changes. And what he succeeds in doing is creating different timelines in which something happens, but the original timeline, instead of erasing it, goes on ad infinitum.
Oh.
And so I think by the end of the book, he's created, I don't know, hundreds of different timelines. And the book ends where he meets himself as an old man. And I can't recall exactly how it was, but it was something like it was him as an old man that he met. He said, "I told you so."
Oh, wow.
So there you go. I mean, there's so many things about time travel and time portals. I share with you one example. My late uncle, Willard Firestone, had an idea that you could change time and your placement in time very simply is if you concentrated daily on a certain aspect that you wanted to change, that by the end of whatever time you needed to do it, you were no longer there in that particular time. And I think the example he explained to me was be like in a photograph. If you concentrated on the photograph and it was people that you didn't really want to be with in the photograph, and you can extend this, you know, any way you want to go with it, that over a period of time, eventually, you wouldn't be in the photograph and the people wouldn't even remember you.
Wow.
And so the day he died, he believed that was one aspect of, for lack of better terminology, time travel in practical application.
Wow. This is really heavy, but so interesting.
If your mind is strong enough and everyone can train their mind intuitively, I suspect he might have had, there was something there that probably is true. You could change an aspect of your past so that it never exists in your present and there's no future for it, because unless it went to a different timeline. You get into all these different things, physics and metaphysics,
yeah,
and everything from religion to philosophy.
It's amazing. Wow. I've got Mike Lear, my great producer, has a question, so he's going to pop in and throw one at you, Lee.
All right.
Hi, Lee. How you doing?
Mike.
How you doing, Lee?
Well, I'm all right, Mike.
Good.
Mike, I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, you know, I've got a quick question for you. I know enough about science to scare myself. Science says that you cannot, you cannot go back in time unless there is a device to go back in time to. This is what mainstream science is saying. So if we created a time machine today, we could go back to today using the same machine tomorrow, but we can't go back beyond today. Now, that's what they're saying. However, I've always wondered if another civilization has created a time machine long before us, and we created one, when we went through the machine, would we end up in somebody else's world back in time?
Yes.
But do you agree with that science that if we created a time machine today?
Part of it, but Mike, the whole idea goes back to an ancient Greek philosopher named Heraclitus,
mm-hmm.
about maybe 2,000-3,000 years ago, and he made a statement. It was very direct. He said, "You cannot step twice into the same river without accepting the changes." Now, of course, you know, you get into modern literature, they get into the whole idea you can't go home again unless you accept the changes. You can't go back, you know, it's past. But there's other things Heraclitus said that are about 2,000 or 3,000 years old, and I know Einstein was influenced by him because he read him. And so were a lot of other people, but my feeling is probably, well, yes, we would end up in their time. Their place.
Okay, but we would end up in a totally different dimension of that time, right?
Either the same dimension or one of 1,000.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you answering my question.
I hope I did.
You did.
Thanks, Mike.
Marla, let me tell you something. You was talking about that big $20 word, existential.
Yes.
Yes. Now, I'm going to give you, now, you know what we've talked about all through the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a very flat and dried definition of existentialism.
Okay.
You take a human being. They live in a life, an existence of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they can make sense out of that chaos, or to give it meaning, is to move into some situation where they can give personal meaning to that chaos so that it no longer becomes chaos, but has meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, applying that to time travel.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Doctor Who in particular.
He seems to be the guest, our guest star tonight, who isn't here, but maybe he is in another dimension. It's just so amazing. And then like 1,000 questions come to mind. All right, you're talking about dimensions. And I'm sitting here thinking, I wonder if we can be in more than one dimension at the same time. What do you think about that?
Read The Man Who Folded Himself. That comes up and is answered. I'll keep that a secret.
All right, make life tough for me. All right.
but look at it this way, Marla. You bring that's a very interesting and valid point. I mean, if you and I are talking right here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in another dimension, another universe, somewhere, there's another Lee and Marla talking maybe about something different, in a different language, and they may look like Peruvian fruit flies.
I was going to say, but are they really us? This is the question.
That's it, yeah. But that's a question that, that's one in my mind that when I'm reading or something, I just wonder, you know, if we exist in what we're doing right now, whatever we do, we basically, my belief is we are what we do and we do what we are. That's it. And if this is really true 100% of the time, then if we have a dimension that, like you and I are talking, there's got to be several other dimensions of other Lees and Marlas talking somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It may just not be in the same direction or in a manner in which we can understand.
Right.
To understand one dimension doesn't mean that we're gifted enough to understand the other 1,000 out there.
And whoever decided...
Does that make sense?
Well, it does. But, I mean, how do we... Who brought up the whole theory of there being another dimension or another million dimensions? Where'd that come from?
I think that goes probably back into philosophy or somewhere. Most things that come out of philosophy end up in science fiction, and they think it's original, but it's really as old as the hills.
Do you think that way back when people were talking about other dimensions? I mean, do you think while they were building the pyramids in Egypt, they were thinking about other dimensions? I guess we kind of think that historically people get smarter with each generation, with each era. But then, you know, you hear back about hieroglyphics of space travels and spaceships and things like that. So I just wonder if we're actually as forward-thinking as we think we are.
Marla, I think a lot of knowledge has been lost,
mm-hmm.
purposely and accidentally. There's been a couple of books out on forbidden religion and forbidden science,
mm-hmm.
and they go back and they track down, the authors do information just about, you know, on what we're talking about. And they begin to see connections in civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
See, each time a civilization is overcome by another one, it simply eliminates what it doesn't want and keeps what it does want and claims it as its own. And then in time, it is replaced. Well, I think there's been so much lost over the thousands of years. Right now is probably the apex or the peak where we're beginning to unmask it. And if not remembering it completely, then learning how to discover it and apply it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like it's always been there.
Yeah.
All the information has been there, but as you said, things change. It's like the game of Chinese whispers. You pass information mm-hmm. down from one to the other, but some of the information gets lost either just by omission or on purpose, maybe.
Exactly.
And maybe... We're at the point now in time where all of this is being kind of pounded into our heads. I mean, you know, the veil thinning, ghosts, spirits, demons, menahunis, whatever, you know, we're really getting a big, strong dose of that. And it can't backtrack. It's only going to get more open and more whatever. Like it's leading to a certain point, but I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Kind of also, is there a limit to this, or is it, again, infinite?
I think it's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way because I think some of the studies I have read on neuroscience suggest, they don't openly say it, but they suggest that the human mind, the brain in humans has changed since the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
It's become... more adaptive, more expansive than it ever has in any other part, you know, of history.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything that's hard and fast facts about that, but what I've read has fascinated me. So that, I would say, once again, I go back and say, well, I think we're being programmed for something.
And, okay, so, and we're starting to run out of time, but you say when that we're being programmed, is it like one being that's programming us all, or who is doing this programming?
Well, a lot of people would say or suggest that there's competing factions for Earthlings. There may be a valid point to that.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever gets the, picks up all the marbles gets every kid on the block.
Hmm. But is this necessarily alien in the sense of space people, or?
It could be a connection between two.
Mm-hmm.
Space aliens, interdimensional, time travels, purposes unknown, or, I hate to say it, fodder for cattle.
All right. like I said a minute ago, and boy... this is going to be a hell of a place to stop because I've just got the creepy eepies right now. We are definitely out of time, Lee. But before we close, please let everybody know where they can get a hold of you if they have any questions or just want to look at your Ghost Village columns or whatever. And I promise you, you will be back and we'll be talking about this at a later date.
They can go directly to ghostvillage.com. I've got an email that'll connect me right there, ghostvillage.com.
That's perfect.
And I will say this on an optimistic note, since we're closing, I don't think we're necessarily fodder, you know, for cattle, that type of thing.
Well, good. That makes me feel a little bit better. we're maybe fodder for something else. Maybe not cattle fodder. But I really appreciate you coming in, and just it's a tip of the iceberg on this one, and we will be back.
Well, it's always a delight to visit with you and share thoughts and shoot back and forth questions. And
definitely. And please stay on the line, Lee. We want to thank you properly, so don't hang up. And for all the rest of you listening in, please stay tuned for Positively Psychic with Mark Nelson. He'll be up right after this, and his guest is going to be Robert J. Grant from the Edgar Cayce Society, I believe, and they're going to be talking about angels and unseen forces. So until next time, everyone, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another great guest and more fun. And don't miss Marla, Friday nights 8 to 10 on the Psychic Radio Network, powered by CBS.
Holy sh! Did you see that? Are those orbs? No, I think that's the ghostology you could be listening to on Para-X Radio.
Who's watching?
Ghostology. You could be watching them live, Friday nights at 10 p.m. on Para-X Radio.